respectful. The wife is so happy that she was called the better half of Aaron's body because of her sharing in all auspicious activity. And man can move without anxiety, entrusting all responsibilities to his wife. By the Vedic injunction, the wife is accepted as the better half of the man's body because she is supposed to be responsible for discharging half of the duties of the husband. A family man has a responsibility to perform five kinds of sacrifice. In order to get relief from all kinds of unavoidable sinful reaction incurred in the course of his affairs, when a man becomes qualitatively like the cats and dogs, he forgets his duties in cultivating spiritual values, and thus he accepts his wife as a sense gratificatory agency. When the wife is accepted as a sense gratificatory agency, personal beauty is the main consideration. And as soon as there is a break in personal sense gratification, there is disruption or divorce. But when husband and wife aim at spiritual advancement by mutual cooperation, there is no consideration of personal beauty or the disruption of so-called love. In the material world, there is no question of marriage is actually a duty performed in mutual cooperation as directed in the authoritative scriptures for spiritual advancement. Therefore, marriage is essential in order to avoid the life of cats and dogs who are not married for spiritual life. Shakyamuni is speaking to his beloved wife, Diti, in a very critical time. Diti is very much desiring to have children. After all, she is the daughter of Daksha. Daksha married her Kushakuni. In fact, not only is he famous for having children, very much attached to many stories in this regard. Some of the reactions of too much attaching, meddling into his children's affairs. He received the benediction of a goat's head one time into his activities. She's explaining to Kashyapamuni that my father married me to you because he wants us to procreate. And so many of my sisters, they have such nice, beautiful children. I do not have any children. For very much my natural womanly instinct to have children is very strong. So please, let us have children. Has explained that she was overcome by karma or lust. Now lust is not always gross, but it can also be subtle. The ordinary personality is an elevated soul.
So Kashyapamuni understood that what she was speaking was a natural and respectable request from her wife to her husband. However, he wanted to do it in a very expert and beneficial way. It is not simply how he, it is not let me do, but how he do things that makes a tremendous difference. Just like there is the Garbha Dhamma stuff. If you have a child in a very, very Krishna conscious state of mind, with the right timings and so forth, that Krishna explains, he's not different than that. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am none different than that sex life which is performed according to religious principles. However, if sex life is performed simply at the spur of the moment because of the demands of the body influenced by the motive of passion, that is explained here by Srila Prabhupada to be the mentality of cats and dogs. Krishna is not that sex life. Maya is that sex life. So, beauty had a very natural and virtuous desire. However, it should be done in a proper way, Krishna conscious way. So Kashyapa Muni is explaining to his wife in this particular verse, in order to convince her that we should wait for the right time, this and everything like that. He is explaining, according to the Shastra, what is the great benefits of having a wife who is Krishna conscious? Someone who is actually following the principles by which she assists the husband in the path of self-realization. Not a wife that tries to allure the husband into sense gratification. He's preaching to her because he doesn't want her to allure him into sense gratification. But if this is being explained so nicely, that such a woman who is sharing the path of self-realization with her husband, she's called the better half. That means when they become married, they become like one body. This is very significant. One body should never be torn in half. Once you're married, you become one body. To tear that body in half is worse than death. Something like Dharasana. Demonic. So therefore, there's no question, according to the Vedic system of divorce, or even separation, except at a particular time in life when it is conducive for self-realization. There is vanaprastha and there is sannyas. But that separation is for the purpose of higher consciousness. It is not due to the frustration of one's material desires. In this world, in the Western world, which Srila Prabhupada often explained is a civilization of cats and dogs. Marriage is for the purpose of sense gratification. The calculation of marriage is the beauty of the opposite sex, as well as the qualifications of how that person can earn money. And we want to enjoy the body and the facilities that will come along with that body for sense enjoyment. However distinguished and aristocratic it may be done. Sometimes there are weddings so aristocratic. Beautiful, beautiful hotels with so many decorations and everyone is wearing such fine clothes. But it's actually simply a ceremony of cats and dogs because the consciousness is sense gratification. But actual marriage, according to the Varnashram principle, the divine Varnashram, is there is a duty, a responsibility.
sense gratification will naturally be there.
But the purpose is not sense gratification.
The purpose is together to transcend sense gratification by taking the responsibilities for our spiritual journey in life. And when a man has a woman who is not trying to induce her husband toward sense gratification, but rather is trying to help him in his path of self-realization, that woman is not just half of the body of man, but better half. Hare Krishna. This is very important to understand. At marriage, you become one body. And you're supposed to move forward together on the path of bhakti. That is the duty, that is the purpose. To have such a wife is a very, very great benediction. Of course, if you can live peacefully without wife, that is an even better benediction. But if it's important to have wife, then this is a great, great benediction. Varnashram means there are certain principles for brahmacharya. If you're not living by the principles of the brahmacharya, you're not a brahmacharya. Grihastha means to live by the principles of a grihastha. If you're not living by the principles of grihastha, you're not a grihastha. And similarly with vanaprastha and sannyas. But it is very essential that everyone situates him or herself in a particular ashram in which that person can make the best possible spiritual advancement. But today, due to a lack of training in varnashram, people have no conception of what their responsibilities are and are not properly situated in any ashram or varna. So herein we find that in marriage life, if one is so fortunate to have a Krishna-conscious wife, someone who's really sincerely trying to help the husband to become Krishna conscious, their goal, their center is service to Krishna. They're striving to help each other to overcome the desire for sense gratification. They're not trying to entice and induce each other for sex life, but rather they're trying to entice and induce each other for renunciation and devotion. I argue with Yamiji Bhakti. The Prabhupada explains, if a wife is like this, the husband lives in Vaikuntha. So Kashyapa Muni is preaching to his wife, you should be like this. Yes, you will have children, but let us do it the right way. The Prabhupada is explaining in this particular verse something that only a very serious person in Krishna consciousness who wants to get married, one who is married, will be able to tolerate. Any different. However, the Acharya speaks. When the wife is accepted as a sense gratificatory agency, personal beauty is the main consideration. And as soon as there is a break in personal sense gratification, there is disruption or divorce. But when husband and wife aim at spiritual advancement by mutual cooperation, there is no consideration of personal beauty or the disruption of so-called love. Personal beauty is something that enamors people, birth after birth after birth. It is attraction to this type of beauty that perpetuates the sufferings of this world. Chewing that which has already been chewed. There's nothing unique about a beautiful form in this world. Why do you think the cockroaches are having so much sex with each other and multiplying all over Bombay,
Why do you think there's so many rats in Bombay?
Everywhere you go,
rats are crawling around, especially at night.
Why do you think?
Because the female rat thinks the male rat is so beautiful. But even more so, the male rat is infatuated by the beauty of the female rat. And that beauty intoxicates him. For sex, similarly, flies, the mosquitoes. Why do you think there's so much malaria in Bombay? It's all based on sex desire. The actual source of malaria, they're trying to say, oh, it's some germ in their mouths, and so many philosophies. But actually, if you bring it down to the bottom line, it's sex life. Because the female mosquito is so beautiful to the male mosquito that he just can't help himself from having sex with her. They don't even care about marriage. They just simply think about personal beauty. And then what happens when they have sex all the time? There's no family planning by mosquitoes. They're simply, you have baby, so many baby mosquitoes, and so many millions and billions of mosquitoes everywhere, and so many have malaria. There you go. It's a big problem. Sex life is a big problem. Everywhere. When it is done unrestrictedly. So the animals are very much concerned with personal beauty. Obviously, their relative conception of personal beauty is different than ours. However, when we were animals, we had the same conception. Therefore, what is sex life? Puna punaschara vichara. First, trying to enjoy the personal beauty of another is just chewing that which has already been chewed. It is the basic principle of all material bondage, this attraction to personal beauty. But in this material society that we're living in, it is so prominent. Why do people go to the cinemas? Why do people watch the television? Who are the most famous actors and actresses? They're the ones with the most personal beauty. Are they not? How good they act is part of it. But what they look like is the very, very main part. In the Western world, there are women who are terrible actresses, but everyone will go to see the movie because of the different shapes on her body, that's all. So people are enamored by this. Who do you see in the front pages of the magazine? Usually, especially these sense gratifying magazines, it's always some beautiful man, some beautiful woman. Because everyone is attracted to this. But it's simply bondage. It's a trap of Maya to steal your consciousness away from its real purpose. The beauties of this world are simply for that purpose, to steal your mind away from Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. If we simply can experience one glimpse of Krishna's beauty, we will never be attracted to the beauty of this world again. Because it's not beauty at all. It's illusory. But Maya is trying to keep us from that glimpse by stealing our consciousness again and again and again, birth after birth after birth, to the beauty of this world. The Prabhupada, in his great humility, always liked to instruct us in various ways. He explained when he was a young man and his father was arranging marriage, Prabhupada said, I was thinking of marrying a very nice, beautiful lady, but my father wanted me to marry someone who was not nice looking at all. And I asked father why. He said, this will help your Krishna consciousness. You will not be attached to the personal beauty. You will be attached to the duty, to the responsibility. So Prabhupada was very, very grateful to his father for marrying him to a woman who he was not at all attracted to. He said, it was very easy for me to take sannyas. When the right time was there, to take vanaprastha, to travel all over the world and preach, no problem at all. So he was very grateful to his father. And as we grow in years, this type of wisdom becomes greater and greater. Of course, Srila Prabhupada was self-realized, but he was teaching, he was using as an example to teach us whatever would be helpful. Because when personal beauty becomes the center focus, then sense gratification becomes very, very difficult to overcome. The house is meant to be a temple of God. In the temple of God, the purpose is to worship Krishna. When the wife is dedicated to these responsibilities, helping the husband in his devotional service, then Kashyapa Muni is explaining it is a great benediction. In fact, the next verse tomorrow says, as a fort commander very easily conquers invading plunderers by taking shelter of a wife, one can conquer the senses, which are unconquerable in the other social orders. We will discuss this tomorrow. So Krishna conscious family life is a very, very elemental foundation for our whole Krishna conscious society. We have to understand what the values that we should pursue in our life. Sense gratification is the cause of all suffering. And personal beauty is such a deep, great allurement that keeps us bound to sense gratification and ultimately makes us suffer. A devotee of the Lord understands how fleeting, temporary personal beauty is in this world. How long does it exist? It may not exist more than a few days. We see it all around us. Someone marries a handsome, strong man, a beautiful young lady, and then some accident takes place just days after their marriage. And where is the beauty? Where is the strength? It is gone. Then the question is, are you going to leave? Or are you going to maintain that responsibility? There's no more sense gratification. For as the years go by, who can keep, besides Krishna and Srimati Radharani and the residents of the spiritual world, who can maintain personal beauty for more than a few years? It only lasts a few years. Then everything starts changing. And people are, there's so many technologies and cosmetics and different types of, my God, in the Western world they have all these machines that cost so many thousands and thousands of dollars that people have in their homes just to try to somehow or other keep their waist thin. They spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for this so they don't get fat. They have so many chemicals so that wrinkles don't come on their face, and so many different scientific research to make hair grow in a bald head. People spend years rubbing these chemicals on, spending so much money. Hair, come, come, come. The wife is saying, rub it hard, rub it hard. Devotees, we shave it all off. Devotee might say, shave it better, shave it. Why are you having shaved? So in this way, personal beauty is something that once we're attached to, it's very, very painful to let go of it. But Krishna, through the form of time, is definitely taking it all away. Look at a photo of your mother when she was a young lady, and then look at her now. Hare Krishna. And then put yourself in your father's position. What he was expecting and what he has from the material point of view. Everything changes. So for these few minutes or few years where we want to enjoy something that's going to be gone within a couple of years, why should we waste our whole human existence? But that is what material civilization is doing. So it's not that we should hate beautiful people, but we should understand that it's not our concern whether they're handsome or ugly or beautiful or not beautiful. We should be considering a person, the content of a person's consciousness. That is intelligence. That will bring actual happiness rather than just perpetuate and increase the fever of material existence. That fever is burning so terribly all over the world. It's causing so much pain, conflict, war. What is the main reason for murder? It's called the family crime. It's usually amongst lovers. So-called lovers. We would not call them lovers. But one man is attracted to another man's wife's beauty, somehow or other induces her, and then the first man kills the second man, and then all of a sudden he ends up in jail, sitting on the electric chair. Hare Krishna, getting hung, being beaten in a prison cell for the rest of his life. Why? Because he's too much attached to this beauty, but somebody else is attached to beauty. There's songs in the West about this. If you want to be happy, do not marry beautiful. Because everyone will be attracted to beautiful wife. And then there will be competition, and they'll all be trying to take her away. And you'll always be in total anxiety. Does she like me, or does she like someone else? But if you have a wife that's not very attractive, nobody cares. So you can live peacefully, knowing that my wife is mine. She's not somebody else's. I don't have to wake up in the middle of the night to see if she's still home. She has nowhere else to go. So this is intelligence. There's Shreyas and Prayas. Because as soon as you have something beautiful, then you have to understand you're not the only one attracted. There are so many Vrindas and Dacoits. Some of them are in the guise of very, very aristocratic, sophisticated, high society people. And they may have much more potency than you in trying to somehow or other attract the senses of your wife. So in the Western world, and it's happening so much here in India. It's not that India, this is not there. It's growing terribly. Cheating. And it's all based on the competition to enjoy personal beauty. So therefore, personal beauty is not a consideration. It's not that we hate a person because they're beautiful and we love a person because they're not. It's just not a consideration. Whether they're beautiful or not beautiful, it doesn't matter. What matters is, will they be faithful to help me in my purpose of life? That's the only consideration. That is intelligence. And that is the type of life that will actually bring real happiness in the future. The happiness of evolving in spirituality, taking responsibility. Srila Prabhupada is very, very succinctly, two times in one purport, warning us, do not even consider personal beauty. It will simply cause disruption.
very difficult due to our previous conditions.
However, Bhagavad Gita explains we must conquer the lower self with the higher self. The lower self is your animalistic propensities. I want to enjoy eating, sleeping, mating, and defending Hare Krishna. And we're being impelled by the hormones of passion and ignorance in this life. That is our lower self. These animal propensities are very, very difficult to control for a conditioned soul. But the higher self is intelligence. Intelligence that comes from God and Guru and Prabhupada, who are giving us intelligence. Do not see your wife as a sense gratificatory agency.
Hare Krishna.
Very, very specific. Interesting word. Sense gratificatory agency. What is the definition of agency?
Can any of our college students give us a definition of agency?
It means an organization with various agents, I guess. Agency means agent of Maya. A sense gratificatory agency, a place where you're going to try to get what you want.
A place where you try to get what you want. What do you want? Sense gratification. Where are you going to get it from, my wife?
We should not see life like this. And life should not be like this.
Therefore, having children, raising family, if it is done according to spiritual principles, it is a very authorized and safe way of going back home, back to God.
Therefore, Kashyapa Muni is explaining the virtues of a nice wife and explaining the virtues of a husband who appreciates the real qualities of a woman to make her a nice wife. Not the personal beauty, but the sense of responsibility in Krishna consciousness. And as explained here by Srila Prabhupada, a family man has a responsibility to perform the five kinds of sacrifices. Of course, in the age of Kali Yuga, there's one type of sacrifice that is prominent over all others. Sankirtanyagya, the chanting of the holy name. So the wife performs the tapasya of making sure that the husband can completely absorb his mind in the sankirtan yajna, absorbing himself in devotional service, of chanting the holy names and hearing the glories of the Lord. This is actual love. Perform sacrifice for the purpose of helping a person to elevate his soul in Krishna consciousness. Kashyapa Muni is here glorifying such a life. However, unfortunately, as we will read in future verses, Diti was not able to hear his message until after. Later on she understood. But due to the pushing of the senses and their objects, the pushing of her material desires, very difficult. But we should know whoever we are. If we break this sacred principle, there will be a reaction. The reaction for Diti and Kashyapa was to have two very unusual children. You know who they were? Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And how much suffering they caused their mother and father. explains, he quotes from the Shastra, that if you don't raise your children to be devotees of the Lord, then having children is no better than passing urine. Hare Krishna. Passing urine is nice. Having children like that is it's simply a cause of pain and frustration. We should direct our lives by the influence of the higher self, not the lower self. We should consider, what is the future of my Krishna consciousness? What are the qualities of this person to help me in my Krishna consciousness? That's all. No other consideration. That is what Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas are explaining. And if we are already married, then we should try to cultivate this consciousness. We should try to help one another in this line. And if we are brahmacharis, we should understand how difficult it all is. Don't be a strict brahmachari. Don't be a useless brahmachari. Better to be an honest, hard-working, responsible grihastha than a brahmachari who's not really, really strict in following the principles and really doing the service of a brahmachari. If you're able to do that, very nice. And just by chanting, dancing, hearing about Krishna, taking a little prasad, you'll be happy. However, if we're not situated in that type of life, then we should not simply go after sense gratification. We should go after Krishna consciousness. Human life is meant for self-realization in all varnas and all ashrams. There are many examples of this. The worst example is about to be spoken here. Shakyamuni is speaking such wonderful truths about the glories of Krishna consciousness and the Vyasta Ashram and the virtues of a good wife. And the great benediction it is to have such a wife. See that Devahuti, she did not induce her husband, but by her helping him in every way to become Krishna conscious, by helping him in his service, in his yajna, in every possible way, even performing tapasya to do so, she was willing to lose all her beauty to serve her husband. And obviously he couldn't care less about her beauty. He was just too busy performing his devotional service. She was always there to help him, assist him, be so responsible. But her natural inclination to have a child was there. So they did it in the most perfect, wonderful, thoughtful way. And what was the result? Kapila Dev. The Supreme Lord became the child. That's the example. Controlling the lower self with the higher self. Conversely, the opposite is here. Somehow or other, the beauty of the wife seduced the husband. They weren't able to control the lower self of the higher self. And the result was Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. Which do you prefer, Hiranyakashipu or Kapila Dev? That is how we must ask. Sense gratification creates miserable reactions. And that same activity, if it is done in an intelligent way in Krishna consciousness. Question. When Krishna is in the center of our relationship, then that is love. When our affection for one another is centered around service to Krishna, then we are sharing our love for Krishna. That is love.
in the spiritual world, because everyone loves Krishna, everyone loves each other. In Vaishnava society, Prabhupada said we should, the success of our movement is based on how the devotees develop love and trust for each other. Love and trust for each other means Krishna's in the center. We're sharing that devotion to Krishna. We're trying to help each other. In the neophyte state, until we become very pure, it may not be pure love we have for each other. But did not Srila Prabhupada have pure love for his disciples? Why? Because when you love Krishna, Krishna loves through you. You become an instrument of Krishna's love. That is our ultimate goal of life. But yes, there may be different degrees of love. When Krishna is in the center, that is love. Pure love is when Krishna is exclusively in the center. When sense gratification, gross or subtle, is in the center of our relationship, that is kama, it is lust. That answer your question.
But in the course of your preaching, it's a common experience. We find that when a person is interested in Krishna consciousness, he is not able to progress because the other half, the wife, is not interested. Like we have conversed in the case, like the wife may be interested, but the person, husband, may not be interested. And we know for sure that it's because of the attachment to the wife. But it's very difficult to break that barrier because we have a strong inclination, but the respect for the verse and to know that mind is so, it's very difficult to break that barrier. And this is actually the practical problem, because what is putting the householders come to Krishna consciousness. So is there any way by which we can get on to a solution?
All we can do is preach by our example and our words to attract people to take them to the life of Krishna consciousness. To create a society of devotees could be very much respected by the common people who are demonstrating how they are really experiencing higher taste. It's still very responsible. And that is the best thing we can do to try to change these people's hearts. Otherwise, it's a difficult situation. It is not an ideal situation. However, we have to make the best use of a bad bharata. One has a wife who is not interested in Krishna consciousness, or one has a husband that's not interested in Krishna consciousness. Or they may even be interested in Krishna consciousness. Too much attached to sense gratification. So somehow or other, that is some destiny has put you in that situation. And now it's too late. But you have to somehow or other make the best use of a bad bargain by trying to be as Krishna conscious as you possibly can in that situation. However, the intelligence, generally that's for people who meet devotees after it's already done. It may be very difficult. You just have to try and do your very best to make ends meet and somehow or other make spiritual progress. Making that a priority and somehow using your intelligence to make proper spiritual advancement under whatever situation. Our devotees in prison, they have no association with any devotees, but still they're making great spiritual advancement. Because they have that determination. Well, that pressing can be more difficult. However, when we're thinking about developing a family, this should be our consideration. We should have to as if they do, what hellish condition my life in? Rather than how long is their hair, rather than how smooth is the skin, because the hair is going to become old and gray and the skin is going to just become like sandpaper anyway. Is this person, do I hope that this person is going to faithfully continue Krishna consciousness all life and will be faithful to me? The husband and the wife should both consider this. That is the first consideration. Everything else is more important. Does that answer your question? And if you look into the future, the older grihasthas who are actually happy making spiritual advancement together are the ones who are faithful to the devotional service and faithful to each other. The older grihasthas that are happy in Krishna consciousness together are not the ones that look the prettiest. They may be pretty, they may not be pretty. That is irrelevant. And then how beautiful they are, husband and wife. If Krishna is not in the center, we see, and the years go by, what a hellish condition it is. In fact, one of my friends was in prison for several years. Then he got out of prison and got married on the basis of physical attraction. And he suffered so much, this man suffered so terribly. He was saying to me, I'm suffering millions of times worse than when I was in prison. I was thinking when I get out of prison, I would get a beautiful wife. Now I'm thinking, let me go back to prison to get one. I'm telling you, I'm speaking quote unquote. I'm not making this up just to prove a point. This is actual contemporary history of the world and personal experience. I will not mention names because he'll probably listen to this tape. When he listens, he'll know who I'm talking about. At least he knows nobody else does. It's true. Any other questions? Wonderful Prabhupada, nice song. Offer our grateful obeisances to the Prabhupada for revealing these profound truths to us today. To the Prabhupada. Thank you very much.
Generally, that's what used to be to meet the devotees after.
Already done that.
Everybody did. You just have to try and do your very best to make ends meet and somehow or other make spiritual advancement. Making that a priority and somehow using your intelligence to make proper spiritual advancement under whatever situation you may be in. There are devotees in prison, they have no association with any devotees, but still are making great spiritual advancement. Because they have that determination. Well, that mercy can do it, but it's difficult, more difficult. However, when we're thinking about the development of family, this should be our consideration. We should have found this person who will never believe Krishna consciousness. Because if they do, what a hellish condition will they have? Rather than how long is their hair, rather than how smooth is the skin, because the hair is going to become old and gray, and the skin is going to just become like sandpaper anyway. So better to consider, is this person, do I have faith this person is going to faithfully continue Krishna consciousness all life, and will be faithful to me? The husband and the wife should both consider like this. That first consideration. Everything else is non-attractive. Does that answer your question? And if we look into the future, the older we ask us, we're actually happy making spiritual advancement together, are the ones who are faithful to the emotional service and faithful to each other. The older the Vyastas that are happy in Krishna consciousness together are not the ones that look the prettiest. They may be pretty, they may not be pretty. That is irrelevant. No matter how beautiful they are, ultimately, if Krishna is not in the center, we see, as the years go by, what a hellish condition it is. In fact, one of my friends was in prison for 7 years. Then he got out of prison and got married on the basis of physical attraction. And he suffered so much, this man suffered so terribly. He was saying to me, I'm suffering millions of times worse than when I was in prison. I was thinking, when I get out of prison, I'm in a beautiful life. Now I'm thinking, let me go back to prison. I'm speaking quote unquote. I'm not making this up just to prove a point. This is actual contemporary history. Personal experience. I will not mention names because he'll probably listen to this tape. When he listens, he'll know who I'm talking about. At least he knows nobody else does. It's true. Any other questions? Profound truths to us today. Shiva Prabhupada.